Let's seek God now. Let's seek his blessing. Will you bow your heads with me as we approach God's throne? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today and we worship you in spirit and in truth. So we ask, Lord, that you will speak to us. May your grace be multiplied today, and may our praise be multiplied. And Lord, as we talk about important and yet touchy subjects, I pray that your voice will be heard and that you will touch the heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It was an unlikely place to have a Bible study. It was an unlikely time to have a Bible study too. And yet, there I was, doing my first ever impromptu Bible study. First time sharing my faith. Jeanette and I were driving home from a rock concert. And this was back in my rock DJ days. And on those long and lonely highways, late at night, you talk about everything with your girlfriend. And our conversation turned toward more spiritual things. And I got excited. It's one of the first times that we had talked about spiritual things. And this was the first time that I was sharing the new things that I was learning from the Bible. So while driving, I started sharing different Bible texts about a very touchy subject. And I was so pumped. I was excited. I said, oh, this is great. This is the first time that I'm being able to share this new stuff that God has taught me from the Bible. This is awesome. I was so excited. And then I looked while I was driving, peeked out of the corner of my eye at Jeanette, and I saw tears streaming down her face. And I thought, oh no, this is not how Bible studies are supposed to go. I thought, Pastor John never told me anything about this. He didn't warn me about tears. He never told me what to do with crying girls. And he especially never told me what to do when you share and do a Bible study and you make your girlfriend cry. He said nothing about that. So I'm driving, I'm trying not to crash the car. And we as guys, we just want to put the tears out as quickly as possible. And I thought, what do I do? What do I say? It's not like I can just share another Bible text and fix everything. I don't know if it was really a prayer or not, but I just said, Lord, you got to help me. And the Lord gave me the words to say. Amen? So what was that first topic? The first ever Bible study that I ever did with Jeanette. That topic that day, what happens when you die? Probably not the best subject to choose for the first time you share your faith and do a Bible study. That was the topic that came up. And so in my youth and in my excitement, I dove right in. It's a topic that has long plagued humanity. Nearly every religion has tried to come up with an answer. What happens after we die? There's lots of explanations, too. They don't all agree. Some say that when you die, you come back and you get to live another life or lots of different lives. Others say that you go somewhere or you live on a different plane of existence. But what really happens when I die? Well, recently, Hollywood has put out an answer to that question. There's a very popular book and a movie that's come out. You may have heard of it. It's called Heaven is for Real. Have you heard of that movie that's out now? It's on the New York Times bestseller, the book is. It's a major motion picture. It's about a little boy who had emergency surgery and wasn't expected to live. A boy about 3-4 years old, just tragic. But turns out he lives, he makes it through the surgery. And then in the weeks after that, he begins talking and telling his family that during that time he went to heaven and came back. And it's not just that movie and book. There are tons of books that have been written and read by millions of people about other people who have gone to heaven had an experience, and come back. Now, what's interesting with all these books and all the people going to heaven and returning with messages from there about their experience, with all this stuff happening, you would think that when we open the Bible, that we would also find lots of people in the Bible times who went to heaven as well. But that's not the case. In fact, there are very few prophets who went to heaven and reported about it. In fact, you can count them on your hand. Do you know how many there were? Let's see if we can remember them all today. You count them on your hand, and we may have to add a few more just in case. But there's a few that went to heaven, and Paul is one of them. We heard about that in our scripture text. Can you think of others? There's just a few. Of course, we've got John, who went to heaven and wrote it down, his experience there in the book of Revelation. And then we've got some Old Testament guys who didn't necessarily go to heaven, but they saw a vision of God. Isaiah saw a vision there. And Ezekiel sees a vision of heaven. And of course, in Daniel, he too sees a vision of judgment. So we've kind of used up our fingers. There are a couple other guys who kind of saw quick glimpses of heaven. And so we could, on the palm, we'll write down Stephen. He was one very quickly sees a glimpse of God before the stones come his way. And Zechariah sees a vision of heaven. That's it. In the Bible, of people who saw or went to heaven, and yet today there's so many who have. And of those people who saw heaven, only five of them actually wrote about it. Paul and Stephen don't write it down. Not a very extensive list in the Bible. But you look at the New York Times bestseller list, and you would think that God's taking people to heaven all the time in the Bible. Now, friends, I have to confess, I haven't read all these books. I haven't seen all the movies. I don't spend my time doing that. But I did watch the trailer of the movie Heaven is for Real. And the trailer ends with this line spoken by the actor who's playing the boy's father. It ends with this line. He says, "I see it, so I believe it." And that was the line that concerned me. That concerns me greatly. Are people in our world relying on what they see or what they hear or what they experience for what they will believe in? Will we base our belief on just what we see? Well, friends, that concerns me because the Bible offers a different basis for belief. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what? About what we do not see." It says faith and belief is not based on just sight, not experience. Nope. My friends, I do believe that people can have visions from God. Do you believe that? Amen, I believe that. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says that in the end time, old men will dream dreams, young men will see visions. However, the danger comes when we base our belief solely on experience. And what if our experience or someone else's experience is contrary to what the Bible says is true? What will we do then? Now, when the few Bible writers did witness heaven, the response is always the same. It's always awe and fear when they see heaven. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, it talks about John, who in his lifetime with Jesus was so close to him. He refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's so close, and yet when he sees Jesus glorified in heaven, what's he do? He hits the deck and is flat before God. Awe and fear when they see God in heaven. The Bible writers, their visions are always focused on the glory and the majesty of God. However, today in the books that we read about going to heaven, the focus is more on the human being's feelings, about what it's like when they're there. And these books about the human experience, they contradict each other, and worse, they contradict God's Word. Now, these last few years here at Piedmont, I've been blessed to work with lots of student pastors. And we talk a lot about writing sermons, as they're training to do that. And I try to guide them in how to write sermons, and that's not easy. It's not easy to teach someone how to find their own voice. It's much easier to just say, hey, you watch what I do, do what I do, and it'll all work out. But that's not going to help them find their voice in preaching. But the one thing that I share to each of them is that a sermon, for it to make an impact on the listener, it has to have two things. How many things? Two things. All right, you're listening. Sermons have to, number one, be real, if it's going to connect with the listener. It has to be relevant to life today. It has to touch something. And number two, sermons must also be true. Amen. The message must be based on unchanging biblical truth. If you have one without the other, there's trouble. What two things are needed again? It has to be real and true. It has to be both. A sermon that is biblically true, straight from the Bible, it's true, but it doesn't connect with real life, well, it's really just kind of boring, if you get right down to it. Or a sermon that's about real life, it's about real experience, but it's not based in the Bible or on the truths of the Bible, then it's merely just entertainment, friends. So when it comes to these popular books that are out now and these movies, I think we need to follow Paul's advice on them that we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, 21. It says, do not despise prophecies, but test all things and hold fast to what is good. Don't just say, well, that's something new, I'm going to throw it out. Paul doesn't say that. He says, don't despise them. Hold fast to the good, though. Test all things. We must make sure that it's true. Amen? Now, in this book and movie called Heaven is for Real, a little boy, Colton, he claims to have gone to heaven, and in heaven he sees his grandfather, who died before Colton was born. So Colton's story and experience promote what his Christian family already believed. And that's usually the case. These folks who have this experience, when they come back, everything that they see and experience is something that they already pretty much believed in their faith. And he comes back with the story that he believes in his faith, that when a believer dies, they go straight to heaven. But friends, is that what the Bible teaches? Now, I know this is a very sensitive subject. This is a subject that tugs at our hearts. I know, because I end up with my girlfriend, now my wife, in the car with tears in her eyes. So I know this is very, very touchy. But my friends, truth matters, amen? It makes a difference. And I don't want to just be told that heaven is real. I don't want someone to come along and say, hey, just trust me. I was there, I saw it, it's real. That doesn't work for me. I want to know that heaven is true. True because the Bible declares it. And real because Jesus promised me that heaven was real. In John chapter 14, very famous verses, chapter 14 verses 2 and 3, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When do we go to be where God is? After he comes to get us. Amen? Amen. Now, Paul tells us what he saw in heaven. So if you turn with me to your scripture reading for today, if you've got your Bibles there, open them up to 2 Corinthians. If you've got your electronic Bibles, click them on, warm them up, and let's see what Paul says about his experience going to heaven. Does he come back and write a New York Times bestseller? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. Paul says, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ 14 years ago. Now here's where Paul sometimes confuses us, but he's referring to himself in the third person. That's what scholars believe. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. He's saying, at one point in time, 14 years ago, I was taken up to the third heaven. The first heaven, if you wonder what that is, that's where the clouds are. Second heaven is where the stars are. Third heaven is where God resides, wherever that's at, out there. He says, I was taken up to the third heaven, verse 3, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul says, I went to heaven, and yet he says it would be unlawful to share what he saw and what he heard. I don't know why that is. John sees heaven, and he's given a message, and he writes it down. God tells him, write it down and share it. But what Paul saw, he says, I'm not going to share it. But one thing that is plain from all the Bible writers who have glimpses of heaven, they never come back and they write about having a picnic with the angels. You never see that. You never read that. They never talk about seeing their dead loved ones. When any Bible writer talks about heaven, the main focus is always on God and on God's glory. They never come back from their vision and say, oh, you remember grandma? Remember my grandma? She passed away. Oh, she's singing with the angel choir now. You just don't find that anytime these prophets saw heaven. So my friends, what does the Bible say about what happens when we die? Now with any subject in the Bible, when we want to build our belief, how many texts do we want to build it on? Just one? Is that enough? I find one text, that's pretty. How about two? If I can find two texts on, that's good enough. We'll build a whole belief on that. Is that enough? No, we want to build our belief on the whole Bible, on lots of texts. So we're going to look at a few texts here to build our belief on what happens when we die. First question is, how does the Old Testament describe death? Well, we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. Talking about King David, the end of his life, it says, so David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And you go through the book of Kings this afternoon, and every time a king dies, it says he died and what? Rested with his fathers. The Old Testament refers to death as sleep. In fact, in the New Testament, when Peter is preaching at Pentecost, he says, King David is dead, and where is he? He's still with us today. That's what Peter says in the New Testament. But let's not build it on one text. Let's take a look at what Daniel says. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Speaking of the end of time, Daniel says, and many of those who, what? Sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Daniel says at the end of time, those who are asleep will rise. Now, how about the New Testament? How did the Apostle Paul respond when a church wrote to him? They were worried about their loved ones who were dying. What does Paul say? This is his perfect chance to say, don't worry about them. They walk the streets of gold. And yet, this is what he says. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, brothers and sisters, concerning those who have, what? Fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. He wants to give them hope. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep. Friends, the hope of the Bible is not dying just so you can get to heaven. The hope of the Bible is in the return of Jesus Christ. Amen? And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul goes on and he says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Do you know that God likes to get loud? Did you know that? You would think growing up and coming to church that God just likes things quiet. Right? Because when we get here, and I do this too with my kids, be quiet, be quiet. You know what? God is going to be louder than any kid has ever been in church someday. Says he's going to come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And what will happen? The dead in Christ will rise first. The hope is in the return of Jesus Christ, who will come back and who will wake up the dead. Now maybe you're saying, wait a second, Pastor, now. Hold on a second. A person dies, but that's the body that dies, not the soul. The soul of a person doesn't die. Well, let's find out. Don't believe me. Trust your Bibles. Amen? Let's go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 2 to figure out what a soul is. What is a soul? We ask the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man received a soul." What's it say? Man became a living soul. The Bible doesn't say that you received a soul, that God pushed it inside of you. It says that man became. He took the body, put the breath of life in it, that divine energy that causes life, and that man, humans, became a living soul. The Bible doesn't say you have a soul. It says that you and me, we are souls, according to the Bible. So the question is, can souls die? Well, if you're a soul, can souls die? Let's ask the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, "The soul who sins shall die." How many souls sin? Are we all in trouble? Eventually, if Jesus doesn't come, we too will be waiting in rest for Jesus to come. A soul who sins, he will die and sleep until the resurrection. Now, folks, we always hear about near-death experiences. A person who was on the operating table and they say, it was a long tunnel and I saw a light. You hear about those things, but did you know that in the Bible there is a near-death experience? If anybody had a near-death experience, it was Lazarus. Amen? That story is in the Bible. Jesus' friend Lazarus dies and he was dead for how long? 4 days. I've never seen someone who said they were dead 4 days, came back. But he was dead for 4 days. How did Jesus describe Lazarus' death? Would you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 11? And let's look at this. We saw how the Old Testament described death. We saw what the New Testament writers say. But let's listen to what Jesus says too. John chapter 11 is where we want to go now. And let's hear the words of Jesus. He's found out that his friend Lazarus is sick. He decides to hang out and stay a little while before going to him. Then in John chapter 11, verse 11, "These things Jesus said, and after that he said to them," to the disciples, "our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go, that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." How did Jesus describe death? He said, "It's asleep, and I'm going to go wake him up." And Jesus goes, and he resurrects Lazarus. Praise God, amen? What a miracle. Could you imagine being there and seeing that happen? Now, after it was done, did Lazarus write a New York Times bestseller about his time in heaven? Did he? Did he write a book in the Bible? Do we find a book in the Bible where he wrote down all the amazing things that he experienced 4 days while in heaven? Is it there? Is there a chapter in the Bible about it? A verse? Anything? It's not there. Why? There's not one mention of Lazarus' time while he was dead. Why not? Because the Bible is clear about what happens to those who die. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, it says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing." This was the verse that rocked my world because I didn't grow up believing this. But when I found it in the Bible, I said, am I going to trust what I've been told? Am I going to trust what I think? Or will I trust what God tells me? Job chapter 7, verse 21, Job talks about the end of his life, and he says, "For now I lie down in the dust, and you will seek me diligently, but I will no longer be." That's what happens when we die. Now imagine, let's imagine the flip. Let's imagine if the belief that someone goes to heaven at death is true. How would you have liked to have been Lazarus? Have you ever thought about that? Imagine that he was there and he spent 4 days in heaven. He's walking the streets of gold. He's talking to the angels. He's singing with them. And then all of a sudden, boom! And he's wrapped up in burial clothes. And he comes duck walking out of the tomb. What's going on here? Would you have been a little upset if you were Lazarus? If I'd have spent 4 days in heaven, and then all of a sudden, what? I'd have been a little steamed at Jesus. Wouldn't you have been? What are you doing? I was up in heaven. Now I'm back here. But he doesn't say those things. Why? Because the Bible says the dead are asleep. Why didn't Lazarus write a book in the Bible about heaven? Because the Bible says the dead know nothing. Nothing. Now, friends, this sermon is not to discredit little Colton, the boy in the movie. He and his father, they appear very sincere in their belief in Jesus. And so I trust that they love the Lord. But what this message is about today is about basing our beliefs not on experience, not on someone else's experience, but on the truth of God's word. Amen? Because a story may sound good. An experience may seem real, but if what we see and what we hear and what we experience goes against God's word and what we find in there, I don't want it. Do you? I will take my stand with the scriptures. Amen? Now, I know this isn't easy, and maybe someone out there is hearing this for the first time. So I want to take you back to our road trip. Driving along on that night with Jeanette, I was panicking. My girlfriend was crying. Now, we hadn't been fighting. We had simply been talking about the Bible. And as we were talking and sharing, Jeanette told me that in the past year, both of her grandparents, who she was very close with, had passed away. And she said, the only thing that got me through that was knowing they were up in heaven looking down at me. And as I was driving, I thought, I used to believe that, but now I've been studying the Bible, and I don't think that's true or real anymore. So I started sharing all these texts that I've shared with you. They came to mind, and I was sharing, and we weren't arguing. There was no fighting. There was no sword bashing going back and forth in the Bible. We were just sharing. And as I shared those texts with her, I thought all was going well. Until I looked over at her and I saw the tears streaming down her face. And I thought, what have I done? Lord, what should I do? What can I say? Because no one had said anything about sharing your faith and having tears be a part of the Bible study. But as I asked God for help, he gave me the words. And I said, honey, you mentioned the only thing that got you through the horribleness of losing your grandparents was knowing they were up in heaven looking down at you. She said, yeah. I said, do you really think your grandma and grandpa would be enjoying heaven if they were watching you down here suffering on earth? Do you really think they'd enjoy heaven? And Jeanette paused and she said, huh. And I stopped. Not the car, I stopped talking. When we share truth, we have to know when to stop, amen? And that, huh, meant that she was thinking. And now it was time for me to take a step back and let the Holy Spirit do his work of convicting. We have to know when to stop, my friends. Jeanette left that conversation determined to find the truth in the Bible. And that's where we must stand. This is the only safe ground to base our belief on. Our hope, friends, is not in the graveyard. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, our coming King. And my friends, God's way is the best. He knows what he's doing. Imagine being a husband who passes away. Does he go up to heaven and maybe watch his wife remarry? And what if she remarries a bum? And he gets to watch that? Oh, it'd be horrible. Or imagine a mom who passes away. She takes her last breath, and there she is in heaven, and she watches her children as they grow up, and they make mistakes, and they live lives of sin, and all these horrible things happen to her children, and she watches and agonizes from heaven. No. God's way is best. He said the dead know nothing, at least while they are dead. But if someone died with belief in Jesus, knowing Christ as their Savior, this is how it works. This is what I believe. That the Bible says that they take their last breath, and then their next moment of consciousness, they hear Jesus' voice who says, "Arise, awake." So to the person who dies, it's like this. Bah, there's Jesus. It's just a moment in time to the person who died. For the rest of the world, it could be years, 100 years go on. But to the person who dies, it's like a moment in time. It's just like when you fall asleep at night. If you sleep good at night. Some of us don't as we get older. But when you're young and you fall asleep, your head hits the pillow and you're out. You're gone for 8-10 hours until what? Beep, beep, beep. The alarm clock goes off. Oh. So to the person who dies, it's like this. Bah, there's Jesus. It's just a moment in time to the person who died. For the rest of the world, it could be years, 100 years go on. But to the person who dies, it's like a moment in time. It's just like when you fall asleep at night. If you sleep good at night. Some of us don't as we get older. But when you're young and you fall asleep, your head hits the pillow and you're out. You're gone for 8-10 hours until what? Beep, beep, beep. The alarm clock goes off. Oh, and you have no conscious thought of what happened in those 8 hours. That's what it's like in death. Person takes their last breath until they hear Jesus' voice. And that, my friends, will be the greatest alarm clock ever. We're going to want to hear that alarm clock. My friends, heaven is real. Not because a movie says it, but because Jesus says it. Heaven is true, not because it feels right, but because God's word declares it. Death is not the end, because death is defeated by Jesus in the final victory at the second coming. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, death is swallowed up in victory. And I believe that. Not because I've seen it, not because I feel it, but because Jesus says it is so. And we can trust Jesus. Amen? Heaven is real. And heaven is true. And someday soon, Jesus is going to take all of us there. Amen? Our loving Father in heaven, Lord, as we walk through this world, if we walk around long enough, eventually we are touched by death. And we feel that sting in our hearts as we say goodbye to that loved one, Lord. And at that moment of time, it feels like death gets the victory. But Lord, we're not going to base our belief on what we feel. We're going to base our belief on what your word says is true. And your word says that Jesus has the ultimate victory. So Lord, on those tough days, when we miss our loved ones, may we find comfort in you. May we find comfort in your word that death is not the end, but that Jesus is coming soon. And that someday soon, Lord, soon and very soon, we will be reunited with all those who rest today. They will hear your voice and they will rise up with brand new bodies that are no longer affected by cancer or heart disease, or any sickness ever again. Lord, we long for that day when we sing that song with you, the song of the redeemed. We sing it with our loved ones, all back together. What a reunion that will be. But until that day, Lord, help us to have hope in what we do not see. Help us to trust in your word, and help us to go forth into this world and tell others that our God, our Jesus, is in control and is coming soon to put us all back together again. In Jesus' name we pray. And all those who trust in his word said, amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have a wonderful, happy Sabbath.